Yes, brother.
Hello.
Yes. Who are you?
Hello, good morning. My name is Priscilla. I'm calling from Ghana.
God bless you from Ghana. Go ahead, we're hearing you.
Yes, please. I have a question for Pastor Moses.
Pastor Moses is ready to answer you.
Please, I wanted to know, Pastor, reference the infant baptism.
Yeah.
Please, does it mean that if Christ should come today, all the infants who have not accepted Christ will not make it to heaven? Again, somewhere in the scripture it is said that when God wanted somebody to come and die for us on earth, heaven was quiet, and that his son Jesus opted to be sacrificed. Now you are saying that God is not in three persons. I'm confused there. Please, I want clarification on it.
If I understand your question, Priscilla from Ghana, you are concerned
yes,
about the little children.
Yes, please.
God bless you. Thank you. Listen, I have two answers for you. Number one, I believe that every little child is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, because they had not yet reached the age where they can make a decision concerning right or wrong. But again, I also remember two children that were in the womb of Rebecca, Romans chapter 9. While they were yet in the womb of a woman, God spoke. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. Even before they were born. Why? By foreknowledge. God knew that when these two children, God saw many years ahead, how that one of them, who is supposed to be the sinner that had the birthright because of food, will sell the birthright, and God hated it. God is not the one that made him to sell his birthright. But God knew that he would do it, and knew this is his nature. The Bible describes him as a profane person. And God hates profanity. So you have to understand. Then you will understand why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 verse 28, dissect it again. Let's read it. For we know that all things work together. Remember, verse 44. Listen, verse 44 of John chapter 6. We just read it. That no man can come to, because you see, when you read the Bible, study. Because in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But he came again in John chapter 6. Although he said, come to me, he said, no man can come except the Father draw you to him. Praise the Lord. That is the call. So Apostle Paul now came to understand why God, make you understand, why God calls some people and will not call some people like me in the same family. Some are Muslims, some are Christians. Why did he pick me out from among them and left the rest to die as Muslims? Some to die just raw unbelievers, neither Muslim nor Christian. Why? He says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. Now, verse 29 is the answer for you hearing me for the first time. Why he called me? For whom he did foreknow. Foreknowledge, like he knew concerning Esau and Jacob. He knew which way you will decide when the time comes. When you grow up, whether you will accept his offer of eternal life Or you will decide to be an armed robber, a smoker, a drunkard, a fornicator, and die in that estate. He knows. Because there are people that even with God does a miracle before them today. In fact, they know God only when they need anything from Him. Apart from that, don't touch any aspect of my life. Okay, He knows it even while you were in your mother's womb. He said, for whom He did foreknow, verse 29, He said, through foreknowledge, He also did predestinate. He already finished where you will end before you were even born. By foreknowledge of the decision you will take to be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, verse 30. Moreover, now, it is only those whom He has predestinated. They are the ones that He called. You can never be a Christian unless God, through His foreknowledge about the decision you will take in this life, the day He will present Himself to you, they are the ones He called. And if He is the one that called you, and whom He called, they are the only ones that He will justify. They are the only ones that He will show the correct way for their sins to be remitted. So that the rest, their sins will remain with them. He is the one that called you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If it is God that called you, it's not that you are going to church because you were born in a Christian family. That one, you are a Christian by birth. It's not that the person that you are living with, if you don't follow and go in church, he don't give you food to chop. So you are following him. You are a Christian by a social decision. Because there are some people that are coming to church now because they are looking for a wife. And some women are coming because they are looking for a husband. Once they get what they are looking for, Jesus, go away. He knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. That is how you will serve Him. Praise the Lord. Verse 30 again, verse 30. This is the way He put it. This is the way He put it. And he said, and whom He called, if He's the one that called, then He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If that child is by foreknowledge, and God, through that foreknowledge, wrote a book of life. The Bible said they have names written from the foundation of the world. So, you are saved only if your name is in that book. If your name is not in that book, you cannot say, He wrote my name in the book of life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you in that number? Ask your neighbor. Are you in that number?
Are you in that number? Saved by grace. Are you in the number?
Oh,
are you in the number?
Are
you in the number? Saved by grace.
The mystery of salvation is deep, I'm telling you. The mystery of salvation is your conception is not by accident before God. It's foreknown. It's foreknown. And some of you have revelation, and then you come and tell me, Pastor, I saw in the church the rapture struck, and very few people made it. And then you are worried. I said, that is a perfect revelation. It is how the process of producing life. Hallelujah. Before He sent Moses to Egypt. Bring my people out. Pharaoh, let my people go. But the Bible said they were a mixed multitude. Out of all the almost 2 million people that left Egypt, how many people entered the promised land in that generation? Two. So William Branham preached a message entitled One in a Million. So that then you will understand why Apostle Peter said, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Because many are called, but few are chosen. Praise the Lord. It's a principle for life. Before a man can pregnant his wife and produce one seed, you must have at least 55 million sperm cells. It will be one of those 55 million that will enter the womb. The rest will come. And as soon as the sperm is released, the race began. They are all running to enter the gates. But that one out of that 50 something million is known by God which one it is. Praise the Lord. This knowledge will make you to guide yourself and make sure you are among the few that will go. Your Christian attitude is determined by this knowledge. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many people will go if Christ comes? That is the race. That is the race. That is the race. At the end of it all, the other 50-something point sources, all of them flush out. Flush out. They all died in the wilderness. Died in the wilderness. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If that woman is so fruitful and she releases another egg, another one will fit enter inside the hen. So you have triplets. You have twins. They can never be more than that. Why? It is God speaking. Because I preached a message that I titled The Gospel According to Nature. And I brought these things one by one to make you understand how God is saving his people. Get that tape and listen to it. My sister, God bless you. So if that child, the name is in the book of life, nothing will happen. No witch will kill him. No accident will kill him. Nothing will stop him until he reaches the age where he gives his life to Christ and then receives the Holy Ghost and then he is sealed. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Hallelujah. Until when? The day of redemption. Grieve not the Spirit of God whereby you are sealed by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God's finished work of redemption on any human being is called glorification, and it is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God bless you. Baptism of the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Good morning, Pastor.
God bless you.
Please, in the various three categories of people or persons that I'll make mention, could you please tell me which one of them actually has a ministry? So the first one, a man or people has a very big church, a large church. So, but he doesn't have a call. But the church is growing, is doing very well. And then the second category is he has a call actually. He ran and he stopped, either hoping to start again or in confusion or something like that. So, maybe not knowing what to do, or maybe hoping to start again. Then the third category is he has a call, but how do I say it? He has a call, but I don't know how to put it so that.
Say it in your language.
Okay, he actually has a call, but he has not started his ministry. But his calling is confirmed. But as he goes about, or let me say, he's working under somebody, that has a call, that has a big church. But that one, noticing or having by the virtue of revelation, discovered that he has a calling. He took him and is working under him. The one that is working under does not have a call, but he has a big church. Well, this one has a call, but it's under somebody. Understand?
So what's your question?
The question is, among these three categories, which one of them actually has a ministry?
All of them have ministry.
What I mean is Bible ministry.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know what your problem is?
No, sir.
Your problem is that your brain has been overstuffed with theological teachings that have redefined the Bible meaning of a call.
I don't think so, sir.
If you don't think so, then why are you confused?
I want you to figure out
what is the evidence that God has called you, and you are using the word call. That word call is a theological definition from your presentation, because every Christian is called and every Christian has a ministry. Your ministry, when you are baptized into Christ, you are baptized into the body of Christ. One body made up of members. Every member of Christ is a joint supplying something to the body. And that thing you are doing is your ministry in the body. So which other definition other than that? Why will you be confused?
Okay, then let me make it clear. I mean, as a calling to be, as an ordained minister. I mean, while having a ministry as a pastor, an evangelist, or a teacher.
Ordination comes from God, not from man. So what do you mean again? Make it clearer again. I say you are confused by theological impartation. The gospel is not about grammar. It's an understanding. Praise the Lord. We have the body gifts and we have the leadership gifts. Do you hear me, sir? Can you hear me? We have the body gifts, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 9 of them there. Then we have the leadership gifts, which is in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Now, every member of Christ, the body of Christ, you must at least operate at least one of those 9 spiritual gifts, which in Luke chapter 19 and Matthew chapter 25 is what the Bible calls the talents. You must, and it is your gift that defines your ministry. Now, in the leadership, it is not a man that brings you into the offices of Ephesians 4:11. A prophet. No man can make you a prophet. An apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. So, I believe anytime the theological terminologies of, anytime you hear them say call, they are immediately going to Ephesians chapter 4 ministry. So when you say somebody God call you, a man that is called but does not answer the call. If you have not answered the call, you are not called. Who can battle with the Lord? Jeremiah received thus said the Lord, and he refused to give. He said it was what? Fire in his bones. Until he speaks it out. Jonah, go to Nineveh. He won't run. Did he run? He still delivered the message. You can't run. Praise the Lord. Do you know why? Praise God. Now, listen. The reason why Jonah The reason why Jeremiah and their likes, it is not that they were refusing to answer. It is the when they begin to think of what that ministry entails. When they count the cost of going to do what God is pushing them to do, it is fear that made them act like that. Not disobedience. It is fear. Because somebody once came before Jeremiah and prophesied to Israel. They grabbed him and cut him to pieces. Jeremiah had it. And now they are saying he too should go with another message. Maybe Jeremiah heard how Isaiah was asked to eat shit. Maybe Jeremiah heard how Hosea was told to go and marry a prostitute. Just to use that action to give a prophecy to Israel. When you hear what the trouble is in some of these offices, when it comes to you, you'll be afraid. For a man that says he doesn't want to answer God's call, that means you are saying that you are stronger than God. So that is why I say, you know, and sometimes, amen, there's a way, a scripture, put it, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 10, 11, 12. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The next verse is where I am going. Which we are born to be born again. Not of blood, your papa and your mama. Not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That is the verse I'm looking for. There are some people that are called by the will of man. Amen. There is a church that is near us here that wanted to expand around the whole world. And then they asked, if you want to be pastor, please. Come and see the Jew. Okay. So he employed them and sent them to branches. When you ask that one now, he will say, I am called. Who called you? It's your Jew. And it is who called you that you will serve. Amen. If the Holy Ghost comes on Sunday and say, preach this to my people, my servant, you go know who be master. Headquarters and say, preach this one. Then the Holy Ghost say, no, you preach this way. Who will he obey? It's the headquarters. Because he has to obey who called him. So, your question can be answered the way I am answering now. If God calls you, praise the Lord. There is something he puts in you. And please listen. Let me correct this impression. You say one that is called, is not called, but he has a big church. How can you say he's not called and he's having so much followership? So he's called. If he's not called, nobody will listen to him. That so many people are listening to his call. The Pope of Rome is called. Yes. Everyone is called. Tell me who they no call. Now the person will not get anybody when they follow up. Now they no call. Now the thing there is who called him. So you can know it very easily in the ministry. God bless you. Yes, brother.
Pastor, God bless you, sir. I said, God bless
you. God bless you, too. God bless you.
It have to do with, I'm from one of those you call denominational hangover.
because they are resisting you preach about or you do talk about or the church believes in. The personality of God. The three persons in one God and God in three persons. Please, I want you to throw a light. Because I want to know, in heaven, do we have God sitting on his throne and Christ by his side? Or do we have all of them in mass in one person? Please praise the Lord. Because out there, there are people that will ask us questions. And we need to defend what we believe in. Praise the Lord. Well, the truth is, you need to defend. You can't defend what you don't know. Please, can you go and get the message I preach titled, Who is Jesus? Another message titled, Who is Melchizedek? And another message titled, The Appearing of God. Get it, listen to it very well. And all that I try to establish is that Jesus, the man Jesus, praise the Lord. The Bible says that God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. When it comes to the explanation of who Jesus is, it is very, very interesting. The Bible says, I think it's verse 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. It says, Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And William Branham preached a message he titled, Jesus Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And so when you want to say, who is Jesus? You cannot use one statement and say, Jesus is this. Because it depends on which angle you'll be looking at him. The Bible said Jesus is the Son of God. The same Bible said Jesus is the Son of David. And that Jesus, the Bible again said, Jesus is the Almighty God. And depends on which angle you are looking at him. He is the wisdom of God. He is the power of God. To do what? The purpose of salvation. That is the power God used. That is the wisdom God used. To save his people, to redeem his people. Now, concerning Trinity, brother, in summary, God is saving us in three offices. The purpose of salvation, he manifested himself in three offices for the purpose of redemption. He is our Father in creation, and to save us, he had to apply, fulfill the principle of the kinsman redeemer. Man died. Man will save man. Before you can save somebody who is lost, to redeem that person, the law says you must be next of kin to that person. You must be related by blood. And secondly, you must be free yourself. Another person in bondage cannot deliver someone in bondage. And yet, all have sinned. No man was qualified to deliver man. So God himself decided to prepare himself a body in the womb of a virgin woman. So who is Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. He was, Colossians chapter 1 verse 15, the image of the invisible God. Praise the Lord. So, to come and redeem us, the creator of the heavens and the earth, that heavenly Father, came in Christ. And when he finished paying the price for redemption, he went back to what he has always been, and then came back again as the Holy Ghost to dwell in those that he has redeemed for the work of redemption, perfection. So it is one God in three offices, not three persons in one God.
Okay, why did he make this statement in John chapter 14, verse 28?
Yes.
Where he said, the Father is greater than I.
Of course, because the Father cannot be reduced to a picture that you can snap. He was only, hallelujah, he was only a manifestation of God. Now, praise the Lord. Why are you, are you handing over? You surrender? No, hold on now. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe God is here now? Eh?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe that some people gathering, of course, you see them now, somebody from Thailand, somebody from Germany, call now. Do you believe God is there with them now?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
So, the fact that he is here with us now, is all of him here?
He's omnipresent.
Eh?
He's omnipresent.
So, what Jesus was saying is, don't look at me and think that because I am Emmanuel, God with us, it means God no day anywhere again. He is bigger than you are seeing like this. That is what Jesus was saying there. Praise God. It's three offices, not three persons. And Adeboye of Redeem, I read it, he said, anybody who says it is three offices, Kumuyi too said it. He said, they are the false preachers. That it is three persons in one God. Not three offices of one God. He said, if you find them, go away from them. I know they were saying it because they listened to our broadcasts. But when we bring what we are saying on the platform of the scripture, you will know who is misunderstanding scripture. God bless you, sister.
Okay, so I have one question, and I don't know actually how. Okay, the question actually prompted from an answer you were trying to give to someone.
Today?
Yes, sir. Okay. When you were saying about that people were people are actually predestined to be in heaven.
Yes.
So does it mean that there's a particular number of people that will be in heaven already? Like God already knows the number of people that would be in heaven. And if that's the case,
yes.
If God, or let me not say if God, since God is the Almighty and all-powerful, okay, it's not like I'm trying to ask a question or I'm trying to ask God a question, but why is it that he's not wanting to just, you know, since he created everything and saw it was good, why is he not just clearing everything and make everybody go to heaven?
Praise God. No, she's correct. I have asked the same question. Now, that, by that reasoning, that makes God foolish. But that the Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than man. And the wisdom of man. That is why God in his wisdom, that's why I quoted that scripture where he said that Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Now, the thing there is this. God operates a principle. There is a law he has put. And that he is bound by those same laws. And the process of salvation, his own is that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. It is a law. And remember that you can also ask the same question, that why is he still allowing Satan? Why did he allow serpents to tempt and spoil his program? That is where your question should start. When he knows all things. Now, if I ask you, when God was creating Adam and Eve, did he know, or when he was creating serpent, did he know that serpent will tempt and create all the problem that we are in today after tempting Adam and Eve? Did he know, sister?
Yes.
He knew.
Yes.
So, it is that foolishness now that declares his sovereignty. For he has created all things for his pleasure. He does not counsel with any man. And let me quickly tell you that this earth that we are living in is millions of years old. Do you know that? You don't know? Have you heard the story of dinosaurs?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes.
How many, have you known how old they say dinosaurs, the bone is? Have you ever heard of the age of those dinosaurs?
I've not actually heard, but I know they existed.
Now, some of them are 5 million years old. You see, they'll see a bone and they will use the computer and test the age. They say it's 1 million years old. A man is only about 6,000 years on earth. So it means this earth has been existing. And only God knows what he has been doing here on earth. So we are only part of one of the things he's doing, which will end in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28. That is where the whole matter will end. Can we read it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Okay, from verse 25. From verse 25. For he, Jesus, must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. Verse 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For God has put all things under the feet of Jesus. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted. God is not among the things that are under the feet of Jesus. He is accepted, which did put all things under him. Verse 28. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. That will be the end of the program. We don't know what next after that. So he's here, displaying his attributes. The reason why it happened like that is God is God, full of attributes. And he creates opportunity for him to display his attributes. He is a savior. But he can't display that attribute until something precious to him is lost. Then he can go and save him by the attribute of a savior, redeemer in him. So he's just there taking us and fulfilling his sovereign purpose. That's why when you find yourself in the positive side of God's plan, you should be happy. You should rejoice. Because there are some human beings that are only firewood for more fire fuel in hell. Whereas some, he has prepared a glorious place for them. He called them his children. He called them his bride. Hallelujah. All for his pleasure. So you cannot question him. If you read Romans chapter 9, Apostle Paul put it this way. Let's read it. Romans chapter 9. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. verse, when he was talking about Esau and Jacob from verse 10. Okay, from verse 10. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election. That is where the emphasis is. The purpose of God according to election might stand not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture said unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Why? Because this is God, that we go to Pharaoh. Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh, Moses will display all the power to make him be afraid. Pharaoh will say, oh yeah, carry go. But in the night, the Bible says God will go and harden his heart. Then he will say, no, you are not going. You are not going again. And it was God that was hardening his heart to refuse to let his people go, so that he can let the whole world know that there is a God that can turn water to blood. That there is a God that can cause flies to fill everywhere. That there is a God that can do all those 10 plagues. When he finished letting them know, then he now releases him. You can let my people go. The next verse. So that you will fear this God. Praise the Lord. Which verse is that? Therefore, verse 18. Had he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. Now the next verse. Thou will say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, that's where I wanted to quote for you. Oh, what will be your name? What's your name?
Juliet.
Oh, Juliet. Who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me toss? Like all those sisters when they wear high heel. They are questioning God, why did you make me short? Like all those African women that palm their hair, why did you give me African hair? What he's saying here is, so that he will be able to display another attribute that he can destroy, he will endure for wicked people to continue. So that in their wickedness, they would vex them. They would vex them. They would vex them. Then one day, he call it the day of the Lord. You have to study and know God. It is this knowledge that makes some of us fear him. If you don't have this knowledge, you'll be acting anyhow. And then God is just looking at you. One time, the Amorites were dealing with the children of Israel. And then they cried unto him. He said, leave them, let them continue to be troubling you. For the cup of the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. God said, let them be doing evil, including all of us. If there be anybody, the enemy is tormenting you, a child of God. And it looks as if God is watching. God is only allowing their cup to full. We are his apple of his eyes. Amen. Anyone that touches is touching God's apple, the apple of God's eye. When their cup is full, you will see how God will react. So he's allowing the world to, you know, put him in a condition that he will now display his anger and push all of them to hell fire. That is why he's allowing things to happen like that. To display his attribute. Church, let's clap our hands for Jesus Christ. Clap your hands for Jesus. Clap your hands for Jesus.